On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, no me today. I am in London, so I was unable to record live. Luckily, our boy Rory stepped in, short notice, off the bench, ready to kill it for us. These guys talked about all the stuff from the presser that went on this week, everything that's going on in training camp, the releases, the injuries. A lot of good stuff. I listened to it. You should, too. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right. Here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
There it is! Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, Rory Parsons.
Hello, everybody! It's your boy Soto here with Autumn Windbags, Juan Soto. We got Rory Parsons over here.
What's up, everyone?
Sitting in for JR. RJ is out gallivanting across the world again. I don't know where the hell he is. He's somewhere cool, I guess, that I want to be. I'm not because I don't work for the UFC, which he talks about like a million times every episode. So we all know, yes, JR, we all know you work for the UFC. We're very proud of you.
He's a badass, man.
I don't know where the hell he is.
He's a badass.
Where is he? Do you know where he is?
I actually don't. I'm not gonna lie, I don't know where he is.
Yeah, well, whatever. Well, he ain't here, so you get us. Rory dusted off his mic out of retirement. He got his cup on. He's ready to rock. So I mean, hopefully, a different opinion than RJ because you know he's always wrong. All right. How you been, man? It's been a while.
I was gonna say, dude. I thought you just jumping straight in. Yeah, I've been good, man. I've been really good. I've just been busy. Been really, really, really busy with work, and you know. It's that season, man. The Raiders are back. I can't help but get excited, man. The group text is flying again, you know?
Yeah, man. It's just all the good stuff, all the projections, all the worries, concerns, and the hopes and dreams, all that good stuff.
Yeah, man.
It's heightened. This is like once you draft a team and like the first big wave of free agency, that's like every team is like, oh, we're going to Super Bowl, bro. Every single team, we're going to the Super Bowl. Eternal optimism. So before we go any further, just want to make sure everyone understands. Use a like, comment, and subscribe. Help you boys out. In the very bottom corner over there is a notification button. Go ahead and click on that. That way you know whenever we drop a new video or RJ or I go live, you get to hear it right away. You get to interact live. So like, comment, and subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your haters, tell your mama, tell everybody. All right, here we go. So, big day today. Start of training camp. Official start of training camp. Not just the rookies, but everybody. A lot of good stuff, man. A lot of good stuff that I like to hear. You know, a lot of good leadership. A lot of the OTAs. Like, everyone showed up for OTAs, you know. I mean, it's everyone who's
positive.
It's a big positive. So, big pressure today. Well, before we go into that, I already messed up. RJ's like, oh, you screwed up. Here's how I screwed up. We always have a question of the day. The question of the day is, what are your expectations for the Raiders heading into training camp? It's a pretty broad question. It's a pretty open question because I want to get you guys' feedback on this so we can go bounce off in the comment section. Rory, I'll give you first crack at this. What are your expectations heading into the training camp?
Sure. Honestly, it's a new coaching staff, so it's all about learning. This is the first time, really, besides the OTAs, they get the opportunity to put the learning into action. So it's a really, really important time in terms of determining how successful a team is going to be offensively, defensively, special teams, getting the cadence down, the execution. This is a really important time for the franchise, honestly. So what do we want to see? We want to see confidence. We want to see players that look ready and focused. Knock on wood, no injuries. That's the priority for training camp.
Big one.
But honestly, everything's been so positive so far. It's exciting.
Yeah, man. All the changes, you know, it seems like Mark Davis is pulling all the right levers, which is awesome. I'm looking for just continuity. I know, like you said, it's new. A lot of newness, right? New stars, new players, new scheme, new coaches, new front office. A lot of new. But that's also going to give us a lot of optimism as well. New is always going to be exciting, right? A lot of promise of the unknown. So I'm looking for a lot of continuity. How are they getting in and out of practice? Is everyone showing up early for tape sessions? Is everyone, you know, like, I want to see like how is the ball rolling from the beginning? Is everyone taking this seriously? Is everyone helping and keeping each other accountable? Stuff like that. That's what I'm looking for, because it's those little victories every single day, how you practice, how you push yourself, how you push each other, how you keep yourself accountable to yourself and your teammates. That's going to show off during the season. So that's my take. What is your take? Let us know in the comment section below, and we'll have a little Discord about it. All right, moving on. Press conference today. Got a lot of big names in the press conference. We have some highlights, but common themes, man. Common themes from the presser. One of the ones that I really like is no one seems to be really buying into the preseason hype. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we'll get to this a little bit later, but there's a lot of like projections about win losses and stuff like that. But I mean, aside from that, there's a lot of love given to the Raiders for the additions they have and their prospects for the season.
I honestly can't remember the last time the media has been as positive as it is right now. It's kind of crazy between like Rich Eisen, Adam Rank recently came out and had a crazy segment on the Raiders. There's been a ton of them, and it's just optimism, man. It's great. I love it.
Dude, the whole Good Morning Football team on NFL Network are like on the Raiders. Even the people that want to be haters are like, well, you know, they do have, you know, a lot of top players coming in. Plus, I mean, you add two of the top, like the top receiver in Madden, a 99 club, Davante Adams, right? And one of the top 10 rated edge rushers to an already playoff team that's pretty much intact. So that's got to be some cause for optimism there. But you know what? From the players, it's no. Last year was last year. Whatever happened, happened. We're learning from it. We're moving forward, and we're trying to get better every day. That was a big common thing I saw.
Day-by-day mentality. Just win the day. Don't get too far ahead of yourselves. Just win the day.
Yeah, man.
They all said that. It's awesome.
That's good. Another thing that they talked about too, which was a little bit different from before, was the fact that they talked a lot about the classroom learning and not solely learning on the field. It's a little bit different from they had, you know, in previous years.
It's a different coaching style. You know, he's bringing I don't want to just say it's an attention to detail, but he's obviously got a reputation as a guru. And gurus have a lot of knowledge. They understand the schemes. They understand the systems. They're trying their best to install those schemes by teaching. And they're talking to professionals. That honestly, the best thing as well has just been the attendance rate, the fact that we don't have a single holdout this year. Mm-hmm. That's huge. I can't even remember the last time that happened, to be honest. But it seems like it's a long time ago. Without some sort of dispute going in of someone that's disgruntled, the fact that Darren Waller showed up day one is a huge, huge thing for the team, and a big respect to him. Hopefully he gets this deal.
I'm sure he will. We talked about it a few times. I don't know that he's going to get a deal this year, really. Maybe in the middle to the end of this year. Because ultimately, there's nobody who's going to move the needle who's up for an extension. No one's going to get past that $15 million a year that Kittle's getting. There's nobody out there to get it. So it's like you're not in any rush if you're the Raiders to extend him, because no one's going to make that ceiling any higher for you to have to beat with another top tight end. You know, it just goes to show you how cerebral this coaching staff wants their players. You know what to do on the field, right? And they'll clean that up during practice, but we're teaching you the system. We're teaching you the basics, right? And, you know, Josh McDaniels and Patrick Graham have both said this. It's like, yeah, we're going to have a big playbook, but, you know, we're not going to go through the whole playbook every single week. We're going to have specific things we're going to work on. So we need to teach you the basics of what we're going to kind of piece and put together like a Mr. Potato Head type of thing. Every week it's going to look a little bit different. It's going to be a lot of the same parts, but it's going to look different every week. So get you familiar with the different sets and the calls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Another one that I really was interested in was the fact that there was just a buzz. Everyone's talking about it. A buzz in the not only on the field, but with the players, but in the front office, with the coaching staff, just with the organization overall.
Yeah, no doubt. Honestly, that's the off the field moves. That's everyone's attitude. That's the leadership that we have. It's all starting to pay dividends. It's really cool.
Yeah, man. Like we were talking in the offseason before, I mean, any of these hires really happened. And I know you're maybe a little bit more, you know, cautious on the JMD hire, which is fine. But you have to take a look at, it's not a typical Raider hire, right? Where you look at a Raider hire, it's like, oh, guy who's played for us in the past, or a guy who's coached with us in the past in a lower capacity, or is a disciple of someone who's played or coached for us in the past, stuff like that. It's a little bit out of the box thinking you're bringing over a guy who's kind of married to him in Dave Ziegler for the GM. You're getting really smart minds. You're getting Champ from out of Chicago, getting Graham from New York. You're getting a lot of these guys that, you know, Rob Ryan, you're getting I forgot his name, Antonio Pierce. You're getting a lot of these like good, solid, cerebral, heady players who maybe don't have a lot of coaching experience, but know the game and know how to convey what they know how to convey their knowledge. It's a little bit different.
Rob Ryan's been around. Antonio Pierce is a younger coach, but the fact that someone like Perriman, who's a leader and a more experienced guy, can show him so much respect and call him out and say it's been awesome working with him and learning from him in the presser was good. Honestly, John Simpson, I kind of liked what John Simpson had to say. I'm kind of hoping he takes a step up this year and becomes an asset on the O-line. I mean, I think you said it a couple of months ago, where it's about having not just the five starting offensive linemen, but it's really having 8, 9, or even 10. You need that depth. You need that rotation sometime. And yeah, he could be a big piece of that. He's a beast. He's super strong. He's huge. He has huge arms, huge hands. He benched at the combine, I think it was 34 bench presses. Like, he's a big, strong dude, yeah. And he's getting better. And it seems like all the stuff that he's bad at is technique-based. So that's where the new coaching staff, I'm hoping they're cleaning that sort of stuff up that we were looking at last year. Like, I don't understand why this isn't getting cleaned up. But honestly, super positive again. He looked great, sounded great. The Hunter Renfrow interview was badass as always.
Yeah, man.
I love that guy, man.
I know, that's your boy. Short white guys everywhere, dude. Unite.
Yeah,
One of the other common themes that everyone talked about was accountability. And how it's not something that they had to be asked about it. They didn't really bring it up to make it almost like a rallying cry, because that's kind of passe. You know, it's like you show up knowing, okay, this is the minimum. Okay. The minimum for me showing up is not just showing up, is me showing up knowing that I have to be better today. I have to get better than I was yesterday. I have to push myself. I have to push my teammates. I have to push my coaches. I have to push. Everyone has to push each other to be better. And that's kind of like walking in when that bar is set up, where everyone's like, okay, I'm not just going to show up and kind of go through the motions. Like, we're here to get better every single day. When that's there, that's when big leaps are going to be made.
For sure.
Yeah, man. So let's take a look at, we've talked about John Simpson. Let's take a look at a little bit of his presser right now.
Well, individually, I'm gonna start with that. I felt like I learned so much last year with Coach Cable being here and stuff like that, and then having guys like Colton Miller playing next to him. He's like a tremendous leader, a tremendous player. And as a whole offensive line, as a collective, I feel like towards the end of the year, we started gelling and we started like being better, hanging out more with each other and stuff like that. So I think that's only gonna make us better this year. So they were gonna be good.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, what you were saying, Rory, he sounds like he's saying all the right things. You know, he got a lot more confidence than he had coming into last year. Last year, he wasn't supposed to really play that much. Good was one starting guard. Incognito was the other. Both were like lights out the year before, and neither one of them played it down. He came in towards the end of the training camp to really take that starting position and was kind of thrown out to the wolves for a while. He did improve towards the end of the year. And if that improved, that arc can continue to be nice and steep and him improve a lot with this new coaching staff, that'll be a great, you know, positive for the offensive line.
No doubt. And there's some continuity there as well, because he played so much last year. So, and to be fair, he got better towards the end of the year too. the homie Marcus Johnson, the fucking awesome guy that I'll have to follow. I think he called out that John Simpson was 13th in PFF pass blocking grade in the last four games of the season, and he didn't give up a sack or a QB hit during that time as well. And he also, you know, you could see him getting better.
Yeah, it's like your PFF is one thing, but like the eyeball test is something else too, you know? So look in here and see, like, yeah, you know, that could have been a hold. He didn't get called for it, you know, or he got lucky because Carr saw the rush and kind of he made it so it wasn't a sack or a hit. It wasn't really anything that John. No, he actually did play a lot better towards the end of the year. And look, I said it about Leatherwood. I'm saying it about Simpson. I want the players that we go with to be on the team because they're already there. They're already under control. They're young players. That's what I mean. I would love to have that. If and what I'm saying is, if let's say we don't have that right 5 to 8 offensive linemen, don't be surprised if we go out and use some capital to get some offensive linemen in, because this group, they're not going to roll out the best that we have. They're going to roll out the guys that can get the job done. And if they have an empty spot that's not getting the job done, they're not just going to roll out just because he's the best we have. They're going to go out and find somebody.
Dude, I thought you were going to go into penalties there. I thought you were going to say for both John Simpson and Alex Leatherwood, they need to cut down on their penalties. If he does that, honestly, it's a big improvement too. He had 10, I think. Like, yeah, quite a few.
That's rough. Well, the thing is, too, is I said this before JMD's press conference last week, where I said, look, the quote-unquote Patriot way is – how good you are doesn't mean anything if you can't be relied on. And Belichick will have a guy who's, you know, a steady Eddie, but doesn't make mistakes, as opposed to a guy who's maybe a more natural athlete or a better, more gifted player who makes more mistakes. He's not going to put up with that. And that's why I don't agree with the whole notion of, oh, we're going to just roll Leatherwood out there and have him learn on the job. Like, no. We're in a win now mode. You don't go out and get Davante Adams and Jones and make those trades to like throw a guy out there to get Carr's freaking head taken off. You're going to make sure that you're comfortable with those guys. So like you said, and JMD said it too, it's about trusting the people that are on the field, maybe not trusting them to be great, but knowing what you're going to get from them and they're going to be steady. So even if, you know, let's say a Lester Cotton who doesn't make the penalties, maybe he was not as polished a player as some of the other guys, but he doesn't make these foolish penalties, he might roll out and get some play, you know, some run, because he doesn't make quite the mistakes the other guys do. Well, another one, fan favorite, Denzel Perryman. He also had a presser today, so let's listen to Denzel Perryman real quick.
I'm nervous right now. My heart's still beating. Well, man, it's like being the first day of school. You know, you see everybody, you know, get around everybody again, starting all over again. I wouldn't say nervous, but like I said, it's his first day of school. First day of school. I'm enjoying it. I mean, every day you learn something new. I'll say that. It's going on year number 8 for me. Been in a couple of defenses. I've been in a defense similar to this one, but like I said, you know, you learn something new. Like, I felt like I knew their defense, their whole scheme, but it's, you know, it's all a learning curve for us. And just being a veteran player, just learning with the young guys, you know, all us just learning together is a great thing. I mean, everybody got to be accountable. It's like 11 players on the field, and if I don't do my job, you know what I mean, like, I probably mess up the whole defense. So that's where that accountability goes into. Like, everybody got to be on their job. It's all a new defense for everybody. You know, it's all like a new scheme. So that accountability, like, it's on you to learn the defense. Obviously, we're doing it collectively, but like, when we're not in the building, like, it's on you to know what to do.
There's reports that you're seeking a new contract here going into last year.
I knew it was coming. To answer that question, my agent Ron Butler's handling that. I just want to play football. That's it. I was waiting on it. That's why I'm sweating. I was waiting on it.
All right. Denzel Perryman, a lot of love for Antonio Pierce, man. Again, did not want to buy one iota into the whole hype, preseason hype. He shut that down right away. And what I like too is he said he was waiting for the contract question, right? He shut that shit down right away too. He's like, nope, my agent's handling that, and that's all I'm going to say. I want to play football.
What was crazy was Ian Rappaport came out afterwards and basically said that he is looking for a new contract. But until then, it doesn't seem like that didn't come up at all. I didn't see any press around that. he had an amazing season, but it also, it doesn't feel quite as egregious as Darren Waller's contract. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's 2 years in, definitely he outperformed it and should be rewarded. It's just not quite the same priority as getting Darren Waller done, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Waller's definitely the more important piece to the team. Again, he's got 2 years left.
It's about rewarding the talent, though, the leader, yeah, the talent. He's a weapon, too, dude. He's going to be more expensive after this year.
He's not. I disagree with that, because the highest paid player in the league is George Kittle and tight end, mm-hmm. $15 million a year. There's nobody who's coming up who's even going to sniff that amount. So no one's going to move that needle. All the other guys have already been paid. The next guy was like possibly the guy who's going to get paid a lot is Pitts. And Pitts is not going to get paid for another 2 years at least. So, yeah, that needle's not going to move after this year. It's going to be the same unless Kittle signs another contract, which he won't because he has like 3 years left. So, that needle's not going to move up anymore. I don't think he's going to be – it's not going to cost any more money to wait. I really don't think so, because – the top player is still going to be at the same price, and no one's going to move that needle up. Okay, Max Crosby, Mad Max. He was on the presser, and this is what he had to say.
The thing I've learned in this league is never get too high, never too low. We have obviously a ton of great talent on both sides of the ball, but at the end of the day, it's a one day at a time approach. We got a ton of work to do. Last year was last year, next year is next year, but we got to stay in the present and just get better one day at a time. Absolutely. At the end of the day, there's a standard, and that starts, with your individual group, the defense as a whole, the offense, everything. So being accountable for your group, there's got to be people who set the standard every single day. And, personally, I try to be one of those guys that, all right, if we're running, we're doing conditioning tests, we're doing, whatever, I'm always try to max out and everything I do and try to elevate everybody around me. And we got to have a bunch of guys that do the same, and I feel like we do. Chandler's another guy like that. He's 32 years old. He was here at every single OTA, and you don't see that, you don't see that often, and that's rare. Devontae Adams, same thing. He was here all offseason. The dude is the best receiver in football. So Derek Carr, same thing. Dude's going into year 9, and he's here every single day. So yeah, we have great leadership on this team. We have a ton of guys that have done it at a high level. And the more people we get like that, the more leaders that come into it. Nate Hobbs, a guy who's been, working his tail off and getting better every single day. That's going to attribute, to getting this team better. And I think we're definitely going in the right direction.
Well, kind of the same thing that RG and I talked about a lot, too. It's not all about sacks. It's about the tape you put on there. So I think he's talking about pressures. 101 pressures last year, the third player to do that, over 100 pressures. And honestly, I think with a more consistent player on the – not taking nothing away from Yannick Ngakoue. I was a big fan of that signing, and I was sorry to see him go. But just – Chandler Jones is just better. He's just a better player. And that's no knock on Yannick Ngakoue, because there's only going to be one person who's the best player at your position in the league. There's only one guy. Everyone else has someone who's better than them. And just Chandler Jones is just better. When he had somebody opposite him last year, he got like 5 sacks in a game. Like, if you have that attention on one side or the other, if you don't put your attention on Chandler Jones, he can wreck your game plan.
That's the key. He can wreck a game plan. He can literally wreck a game plan on his own, which he does it against really good tackles too. There's some good highlights out there, but obviously him doing work on Taylor Lewan was one of my favorites, because Taylor Lewan's a damn good left tackle. He's savvy, so the fact that Chandler Jones can still get around him and get through him with relative ease is a big deal.
Yeah, man, frustrated me. I'm busting with the boys. He's like, dude, I didn't know where he was coming from. I didn't know what he was going to do, what move. He's just mm-hmm. like, after a while, I had to like, he said he had to like kind of like collect himself, like, dude, this guy's kicking my ass right now. Like, I need to like figure this out. Another thing, too, is interestingly, because he's in Las Vegas, a MMA hotbed. He started training MMA, and he did say more so boxing than anything else, but he started showing up to as training boxing. He sees these professional MMA fighters train, and it really kind of showed him when it's that kind of sport where it's just me against you, and if I make a mistake, that's my ass, basically. Mm-hmm. The intensity in training every day is so high, and that kind of raised his intensity, and in turn, hopefully it raises his teammates' intensity, right?
Mm-hmm. It's all about endurance. It really is. It's all about endurance. And he's doing all the right stuff, man. He's taking care of his body in ways outside of just lifting, you know, compound lifts at the gym. Like, he's really perfecting his craft in every way. And what he said about there being no off season, like, he is the perfect Las Vegas Raider. Mm-hmm. I almost said Oakland Raider there. He's the perfect Raider.
All right, man. Awesome. Los Angeles, Oakland, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I mean, look, if you look at it, Max, he's just a naturally big dude, right? He's like 6'4". He's got broad shoulders, but he's got a thin waist. He's got his legs aren't that big. He's just more wiry than anything. He's a very Chandler Jones-esque. He doesn't have a lot of muscle on him. He's about, what, 260, 270, something like that, around there at 6'4"?
I'd say he doesn't have a lot of mass on him. He's shredded.
Yeah, he doesn't have like a lot of bulky mass. Like, you're not going to see – he's not he's not built like let's say a Khalil Mack, who's more of a stout, stockier guy. But he's a big dude, and I think what he's doing right now, what he's been doing the last couple of years to get his body in shape for the season, I was very concerned because of the motor and the output that Max Crosby had to put out every single game, but he didn't slow down, and he didn't slow down every game. Every game he went out there and put max effort. And that's kind of like, you know, when I'm at the gym and I'm training, you know, doing strength and conditioning with one of the fighters, I tell them, and we have a little circuit where we do a 30-second kind of a slow bike on the air bike, on the assault bike. So 30 seconds nice and slow, and then a 30-second sprint. We do that three times, so it's 3 minutes total. Then they have to jump off right away to the row machine and do 500 meters in under 2 minutes. Then after that, they do 20 heavy ball slams. And they only get a minute rest in between. We do 5 rounds of that. And I tell them every time they do the sprint is you empty that tank all the way. Don't save anything, because that's how you raise up that cardio level to be able to that 30-second rest. You know, it's like an active rest, you know, so you kind of get that wind. And it's you just don't get tired. You feel tired, but you take a break for, like, you know, in between a play. And there you go. Your tank is almost full again. And let alone when you go off the field, when the offense is on the field, it's like you're back to 100% or damn near close to it in a couple minutes.
That's badass, man. Honestly, the way that you're training, I mean, if he's doing anything like that, I'm sure he's doing above and beyond. He's doing crazy shit. If it's anything like that, it's only going to make him a better player. You know, when we're hand fighting, so much of the techniques, the bend, just there's a lot of things that he can work on that he continuously works on. I don't think I'd trade him for another pass rusher in the NFL at this point. He's that good, but he's also as Raider as it comes.
Yeah.
He's the perfect leader for this organization. I also want to say, dude, did you see his new car?
No, what'd he get?
You didn't see the photos of it?
No.
He posted it, I think. So he got a Rolls Royce, silver and black.
Shit.
Clean as a whistle. This thing is just, like, he lives silver and black. He lives the Raiders.
Bro, why would you ever let him go? Why would he need to go anywhere else? Like, he's a locker room leader. He's a civic leader. He's a team leader. He's the face of the franchise. He's one of the best players in the league. He's kind of like a bar setter for how you want to act. You know, he's really big. I love that he's in that no-kill shelters and stuff like that. Pit bulls, he's really big into pit bulls. He's got, like, some badass dogs. And, dude, man, he's just like – a solid dude. So yeah, man, awesome. It's awesome to have a leader like that who's willing to kind of put it all out there, not just to get out, you know, I'm going to say what I want to say and follow what I say, but he's out there doing it too. Last one, I think it was best for last. Your boy, Hunter Renfrow, had a little bit of time to talk. So let's hear what Hummer had to say.
Yeah, I think Dave and Coach McDaniels did a good job of bringing in talent, making the commitment to us. You know, we as a team have to reward them by giving the same commitment every day, getting better every single day. And so, you know, every single season, it's so fun because you have new expectations and you have a new chance to do something special. And every single day, you know, it takes your very best to achieve that. And, you know, any good team I've been on, it's not just one or two guys, it's a whole team buying in. It's the first guy and the last guy buying in the same way. And if we can do that, we'll have a chance. You know, really, it doesn't change too much for me. I just try to go out there and be a great teammate, great player, great leader, whatever I can do on a daily basis to help my teammates out. is what I'm interested in. I'm not really looking toward the end of the season. I'm not looking at, you know, anything other than this day and getting better today. And, you know, hopefully I can do that.
Well, you know, honestly, we all thought that having Davante Adams on the team was going to help everyone else, which is what I said too. But, man, I think he was sneaky trying to, like, warn the rest of the league. Like, don't just double one person, right? Like, don't just double Davante because I'm going to fucking shred you. Me or Mac or Cole or someone else is going to shred you. Don't just double one of us because, you know, we got a lot of players on this team.
Dude, he's the nicest guy in the world. He is insanely talented. He's just a gifted footballer. He's so humble. He's the perfect team first kind of guy too. Everything he said about being team first and like, I'm not worried about my individual stats. I'm worried about wins and how to make this team better. And if him, Waller, honestly, that's Davante Adams too. Davante Adams obviously is expecting to get a certain number of balls, but that's because he's excellent. He's great. He's going to be open and him and Carr are going to have a special rapport. But it's still, the messaging is still team first, whatever we got to do to win. And it's all really positive. I said it at the beginning, say it at the end. It's just really cool this time of year.
Yeah, he's awesome, dude, man. It wasn't in the clip, but I really liked his line when he said, my stats don't matter. I've already made more money playing this game than I ever imagined. I never dreamed I would make. I already made more. So it's like, I don't need to like get all these stats anymore, you know? And maybe that's him kind of like saying, okay, I know that Davante is going to be the number one target. I know Waller's going to be the number two target, but he also sneakily, you know, he's a really nice guy, but he knows how to talk shit on the sneak because he's like, hey, if you right, because if you double Davante or Waller, we're going to kill you. One of us is going to do it. If one of us big three, I know he threw Mac and Cole and all those guys in there, but no. It's those three guys. Those are the three right there.
You know, a good point that was made was I think one of the reporters asked him about DeMarcus Robinson and the role that he might play.
Yep.
And he made a good point. He was like, the Chiefs released him before they knew Tyreek Hill was leaving. Like, what are the expectations for him? Is he going to be, you know, possibly that Z? You know, it's a position that's really up for grabs. It could be Keelan Doss. It could be Mac Hollins, who's a really good special teamer. That's why he's going to stick around and not get cut. He's a bigger dude. That kind of second receiver slot's going to be an interesting one too, and they could feast too.
Yeah, Cole's going to get a lot of run too, and if he can stay healthy, he's shown that he can have some big games, especially when you have special players around you who, you know, it's that whole, what was that? What was the guy, the whole Mark Mattson thing, right? Like this dude's, he's scoring, you know, 10, 12 points a game for the Lakers in their heyday. In the Kobe and Shaq era. You know why? Because everyone's paying attention to Kobe and Shaq and Fisher and all these other guys. And he's just kind of like, okay, well, I'm not a scrub, but I mean, pay attention to everyone else. I'll get mine. So if you got guys that command that type of attention, somebody's going to end up, you know, being a sneaky fantasy get, I think. So on they play the Chargers the first game, and the Chargers, you know, I don't care who they have on their team. Their defense is, you know, we always score a lot of points against those guys. It could very well be, you know, a Davante Waller show, or it could be a Cole Mack Renfro show. I mean, who knows? Who the fuck knows?
I'm expecting the RBs to get involved in the passing game too. Really, he spreads it around, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, don't show a weakness in the first quarter because Josh McDaniels will flip a game plan around in a second. If he sees something that he's going to exploit that until you figure it out. Well, we talked about it a little bit earlier today. You brought it up about injuries. Pretty interesting things happened today. Before the training camp actually kicked off with practice, Raiders made a couple of moves. They did release Dylan Levitt. They released him, so fortunately he's not going to be a part of the team. Hopefully, maybe he can be brought back. So it looks like the safeties are going to be Merrick, Harmon, Abram, Gillespie, potentially Polamalu. I don't know if you've seen him play a lot. I think he's He's got a lot of he can he's a big kid. I think he can play pretty good. Well, one of the more interesting thing other than that is the pub list to start the training camp. Jonathan Hankins, Bilal, and Mullins. All three of those are on the pup list. So here's what that means. It's not like it was before. So as long as any of these players can be active on the roster prior to week one, they don't have to sit out anything. They're good to go. As long as they can be on the active roster by the first game, they're good to go. Now, if they can't be on the active roster for whatever reason by the first game, they do have to sit out 4 weeks instead of the six if that was changed this year. So it's not as bad. Let's say you're kind of a tweener and you may, a couple of weeks would come and do me good. But here's the issue that we have that running into this. Hankins and Bilal were like the starting defensive tackles for this defense. And neither one of them are going to be on the field anytime soon. If you put them on the pup list, it's not going to be anytime soon. Does that leave the door open? I mean, it does leave the door open for like Neil Farrell or Matthew Butler, the guys we drafted. But does that leave a little opening for maybe a little Ndamukong Suh action?
Obviously, the idea has grown on me. I think the only reason it hasn't happened so far is probably because of the money, right? So 7, 8, 9 mil is realistically where he's going to land. Based on what he's been paid the last two seasons with the Rams, and obviously we wouldn't be signing him if we thought there was going to be a drop-off from last season. He's still a beast. We've got the cap to do it, but you're right. I mean, we are kind of – Hankins and Bilal both missing is – it's a miss.
For sure. One of the reasons why I didn't think that we were going to sign him right away, him being – pronouns, pal, him being a Ndamukong Suh, is – not only did we sign a bunch of interior defensive linemen, we also drafted two. So it's a big group already. But like I said, with the offensive line, we're not just going to roll with the best of what we have. If guys aren't going to be able to get it done to the level that we need, yeah, we're going to go out and look for some other guys. And this happens to be a badass out there. So what do you think, man? What do you think about that? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe towards the end of the training camp, that way maybe – Bilal and Hankins' injuries can be a little bit more clearer. How much time are they going to miss? Is he going to start the season on the pup? Because, I mean, we can't roll out there with two rookies in the interior defensive line.
We can't. Honestly, I need to do more research into Hankins, Bilal, and Mullins' injuries. I don't know if you know anything more about their injuries. I don't think Mullins is supposed to be out too much longer. I think it was a toe injury, got surgery, yeah, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, him coming back is the biggest one for me because I'm confident in Ruckus in and Averitt, but Trayvon Mullins, a completely different player. He's a much taller, longer cornerback that, honestly, in the AFC West, you kind of need a player like that.
Yeah.
He's also tough and he's rugged. He's a good fit. So him coming back as a former second-round pick, it'd be great if he came back and really made an impact. Hankins and Bilal. When is this going to happen potentially with Suh? I don't know, but I think the longer you wait in the camp, the more likely injuries are going to happen, and that's obviously teams go shopping, and he's near the top of the list.
For sure. I mean, I wanted Patrick Graham because he's basically like that. That's what he's known for, is his secondary, right? Mm-hmm. And Patrick Graham, I wanted him to get his hands on Mullins early. I wanted him to get his hands on him. Well, Mullins is still in the building. He's still, taking class and all that stuff, and he's still learning. But I really wanted him to get that technique cleared up because, I mean, Mullins would be a world beater for a couple of weeks, and then he'll get torched for a couple of weeks. So there's definitely something that opposing offensive coordinators are noticing about his play to be able to kind of take advantage of that. So hopefully he's back soon so we can see the best version of Trayvon Mullins.
He used to get a little too grabby. Obviously penalties, being a Raider, you can't wear silver and black and get grabby as a cornerback. You're going to get that flag.
Hell yeah.
But the other thing with him, he would kind of take some risks. So double moves, I remember beating him pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a good corner. I think it was net positive always with him. And as I said, he had a lot of potential and his flash, when he did flash, it was tremendous.
He was a real player. He was like one of the highest rated corners for the first few weeks last year. And then he gets hurt and it's like, oh man, that's a bummer. All right. Enough of that. I want to get to this because the disrespect with the K on the end, the disrespect that our beloved Raiders get on the daily. We talked early. That's why we were so surprised at all the love and respect we were getting from some of the media. And then DraftKings has to come out and shit down our neck. The over-under. Okay, I'm going to go, and I know you see it, but let's just, you know, suspend disbelief, okay? The over-under in wins for DraftKings came out today, and this is the AFC West, okay? The Denver Broncos, their over-under is 10. And DraftKings is selecting under 10 wins for them this year. Okay, I get that. Moving on to Kansas City Chiefs, they are at 10.5 wins over under, and they are taking, they being DraftKings, is taking the over on that. Okay. Next, the LA Chargers are at 10. And again, DraftKings is taking the over. But here comes the kick in the dick that I just cannot get over. It really pissed me off when I read this. Your and my Las Vegas Raiders, 8.5 freaking wins. Now, to their credit, DraftKings is taking the over on 8.5. But 8.5 is a little disrespectful, no?
It hurts. But honestly, this was my fear from day one with the new coaching staff. Honestly, I think that rankings like this are based on two things. It weights the history. Obviously, besides last season, if you take a cumulative over the last, like, I don't know, 3 to 5 seasons, it's not going to sit pretty, you know? The average isn't going to look great. And then I would love to see the stats on when a brand new coaching staff comes in, a complete overhaul, what the record is combined of the teams the following season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would be positive or negative, honestly, because there's a lot to learn. So yeah. We're a super talented team. We kept all of our veterans. We have, you know, Davante Adams, Derek Carr, Waller. That offense is going to be insane, honestly. So much faith in that offense. Defensively, Patrick Graham's incredibly well respected. You've got two bookend pass rushers who are amongst the very best in the league. And if you can consistently get pressure, that does big things for your defense. And then we've got a bunch of young sort of prove it guys that could, you know, explode this year. Rookies on the last year of their deal. You know, there's just a lot of talent. There's a lot of things to be really, really excited about. But 8.5 could just be a reflection of those two things.
Well, I'll tell you something here. Denver hasn't fared that much better than us the last 3 to 5 years, number one. I know they did get a quarterback who's in this, on the same bucket as Carr. We'll talk about that a little bit later in What Up Windbags. But they also have a whole new coaching staff, a whole new system. Mm-hmm. They got rid of their best receiving target in Noah Fant. He's in Seattle now. I'm not sold on Hackett. I'm not sold on him at all. When he was with the Bills under Marone, he was awful. And he goes, it's like, that's like you or I being the offensive coordinator with Green Bay. We're not going to be the offensive coordinator. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, and that's that. We're just basically like, well, here are the plays. What do you want to pick? He goes on the he changes the play every freaking game, every freaking down anyway. So it's like, I don't know, man. And then he's just kind of a goofball. Have you heard him in his press conferences? He's a total goofball, dude. He's like
corniest dude ever. He's God. So corny. It's crazy. It really is crazy. He's super corny, but he's also, you know, he's Russell fucking Wilson. He's a top 5 quarterback for how many years? So this is sort of they're banking on the Peyton Manning effect, right? Like an elite quarterback to come into a pretty decent team, basically bring an offense with him. Like he's going to have input no matter what. And all of a sudden the team's a playoff contender because they've got a good quarterback and a good defense. Like, well, I can see why they're the favorites. Not favorites, but, you know, popular.
Yeah.
But we've beaten them 6 times in a row, right?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the Broncos, to be fair.
Well, the thing is, too, it's like, yeah, I understand, but it's not the same as the Peyton Manning coming over because you lose your head coach who was your de facto defensive coordinator. So as good as that defense was, I don't think it's going to be nearly as good as it was before because they're learning a new defense from, I mean, as good a defensive coordinator as they had before. They had a pretty damn good defensive coordinator before, okay? And you get a whole new system. You get an unproven head coach who's a first-time head coach. I mean, goddamn, man, it's a lot of things going against him that we don't have going against us. we're pretty much we didn't lose anybody who was like the best at our position. We only added on to what we had, which they did too, but I don't know, man. We didn't lose. I don't know. Their strength of the team last year was their defense, and that coordinator is bye-bye. All right. That should just piss me off. But whatever, man. I've been pissed off before.
What do you think about the Chiefs?
I think that they are going to be very similar to last year, where they have to kind of iron some of these things out, because ultimately what they figured out towards the end of the year last year is in the bucket now. It's in the bin. It's not the same. You don't have the same pieces. So what you figured out in the middle of last year to get you on that late season run offensively is going to be different now. So you have to figure it out again. And I don't think they have the horsepower to be able to outscore a lot of teams the way they did in the middle and the end of last year. I don't see them getting any more. I would go under and do 10 wins for them. Because, dude, you have to understand something. When their offense wasn't clicking last year, they were bad. They were really bad. And turning the ball over left and right, you're not going to have that kind of fail-safe, get-out-of-jail-free card in Tyreek Hill. Like, Mahomes doesn't have that anymore. Okay, and if he's – the thing that really gets me – normally I agree with Keyshawn Johnson. He was saying, well – you lose 100 catches with Hill. Well, if you get 50 from this guy and 50 from this guy, it's the same thing. And it's like, no, it's not
at all the same thing.
It's not. And what you got in Tyreek Hill was someone who changed the opposing defense because he can do so much. When you have a different player out there, whether it be Juju or whether it be MBS, mm-hmm. they're not going to be able to do everything. They can do certain things comparable to what Tyreek Hill does, but they can't do it all in the same package. So you don't have to change your defense like that. And I think because of that, it's going to make it more difficult. And we have evidence that Mahomes is not the most patient motherfucker out there. Like, if you go out there and you're able to kind of stifle what he wants to do offensively, he'll give you a couple of chances. He'll throw the ball to you. So I just don't think that if they have, and I think they will have a very similar kind of shoot out the gate as he did last year, they're not going to have that firepower to be able to outscore teams towards the end of the year.
So here's what's crazy about the Chiefs. They usually start slow. Even the Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill juggernaut, they started slow, and those sort of issues were early. If you remember, we went on an amazing run to start the year, obviously, I think 3-1, right? And at that point, I don't think the Chiefs were 3-1, and they were sort of clunky. Mm-hmm. I remember sort of predicting the rest of the season with you guys ages ago. And honestly, we kind of looked at them as a possible drop-off, and of course they finished incredibly strong with the team to beat again, and the rest is history, right? Mm-hmm. So we can't count them out, but I agree with you. Tyreek Hill is not like losing any other receiver or any other offensive weapon in the NFL. He was a get-out-of-jail-free card, is a great way to put it. I called him like the Steph Curry almost of the NFL. There's just nothing that you can do to defend him sometimes. You can literally triple him. You can do, your whole defense and prevent defense, and it's still not going to be able to stop him. He was impossible to cover one-on-one, period. So what remains to be seen is how much of a drop-off we see with the Chiefs this year, because their offense shouldn't be as good without Tyreek Hill, regardless of who they added.
Yeah, man, I agree 100%.
And the Chargers. What do you think about the Chargers?
No matter how many, because I was looking at the Chargers. I'm like, man, they added Khalil Mack, and they added this guy and that guy and all these other guys. Yeah, great. And I look back, and when RJ and I were talking about how the worst fans in the AFC West, and then we picked the Chargers both, because no matter how many great players, like Hall of Fame first ballot, they never really won anything. And I'm thinking, like, man, they went from Breeze to Rivers with Tomlinson, and they just weren't able to put it together. So for me, I'm not sold on Bradley. And until he figures it out, or until the Chargers figure it out, I don't think that they're going to reach their maybe their full potential. Because as lights out as Justin Herbert is, it's really hard to win the NFL anyway. But when your coach is consistently putting you in rough situations, rougher than the opposing defenses, it's a lot harder to win games that way.
Yeah, they're routinely the most talented team in the league. Honestly, if we're being honest, they are year after year incredible. And then Herbert is absolutely lights out, top five. We saw what he did to us last season. He's the complete package. They've got great receiving threats. They've got talent on the O-line. Defensively, they are loaded. They have so much top-heavy talent. But then you start to get into the depth and there's gaps. But their top talent is incredible.
Through the roof.
It really is. They're really reaping the rewards of the rookie quarterback deal. They're the poster child for that. They invested because of that. So talent-wise, they can match up with anyone. They look insanely tough. But I'm also really confident we're going to go in there week one and win.
It's a home game for us.
I'm more confident in us, and it's a home game.
Love it. All right, man. You ready for some What Up Windbags?
Let's do it.
Ah, I love it. All right. 209 Raider, R8R, says, totally our fault. He being Jamarcus Russell, he rolled in addicted and out of shape. He'll never get past his addiction until he can accept the responsibility and shoulder it for himself and not blame others and make excuses. Downward spiral comes soon, unfortunately. The downward spiral, I think he's been going on for a while now, no?
I mean, I don't know what place he's in mentally. I don't know what he does professionally anymore. I don't know anything about the dude. I do know that he shows a remarkable lack of accountability for what went down in Oakland. Honestly, I wish him the best, but yeah, he's so clearly in the blame victim mentality. I don't think he ever really cared about the NFL or football in general. He wanted the paycheck and didn't really treat it as a professional endeavor. And the rest is history. It's a shame.
Bro, I was so, I was cautiously optimistic because although most of the people that did have something to say about Jamarcus Russell, it was positive. A lot of people like to say, oh, he's the biggest bust, whatever. Before he got picked, everyone was like, yeah, he's going to be the first pick. He's going to be the first pick. But there was this little inkling of, you know, he's got some issues by, you know, showing up late, not showing up to film study, this and that. There were those little inklings in the background. It just seemed to be magnified when you go to an organization where you're looked at when you walk in the door to be the face of the franchise, to be the leader of this team. You hold out, you show up out of shape, you don't work hard, you don't take responsibility, and it's surprising he lasted 3 years, honestly. And it's not surprising that no one else has given him a shot. And that's really him not playing well is one thing. Him never being given an opportunity to play for another team, that is more of a tell of the Jamarcus Russell, the person, than Jamarcus Russell, the player.
100% agree.
Damn. See, that's why I like you on here better than JR. All right. Just Win 74 says, I was excited for the 2017 season. I think we both were. I don't trust any years now. This year has me excited, but I have to temper that excitement because of 2017. Wow.
I respect you, Just Win 74.
Ditto. I agree. Yeah. That's what I said, too, is RJ and I were talking about this to add some context. We're talking about have you been more excited or what's the most excited you've been going into a season? And I said, you know what? I've been hurt so much from this team. It's just like we'll see how it goes, right? But that was the last time that I was super pumped up because we basically had everyone coming back player-wise. And from a 12-win team, and it just did not end well for us.
For me, it's not even the 2017 season. It's just 20 years. 20 years with an 8-8 and a playoff appearance. Like, you know, we're used to doing this because it protects us from more disappointment and hurt, because it always looks incredibly good this time of year. But this year is different. We look insanely talented. And again, everything's been so positive, man.
Bro, I want to be all in. And I am all in my support. It's just, I need to see it on the field one time. Just talk to me after week one. Let me see how that looks.
I mean, so this is a good question, though. So realistically, how long does McDaniels get to make a good impression? Like, is the expectation that week one we come out and we're perfect? Like, is it just that we're competitive? No, I think it's that we've actually got to beat the Chargers. So if we don't beat the Chargers, what would be acceptable for his very first game in charge, you know?
I think just improvements overall, penalties, pre-snap penalties especially. How does the offense look? Is the offense putting up points? Is it moving the ball? Does the defense look better? Did we lose because Justin Herbert is just a fucking dick swinging stud, or did our defense just not show up, right? So what does it look like going forward? Like, do you have a game plan? We don't have that leash. We don't have that kind of history that, let's say, Andy Reid does, where he starts off slow. Oh, he'll figure it out. We do need to play well week one for I think most Raider fans to have a lot more optimism in the McDaniels era.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're underdogs for that game too. And we're underdogs for quite a few of these games. We were underdogs a ton last year, and I think we won more games as the underdog than any other team. So,
swinging.
Let's
see. Come on, firing. Yeah, right. All right, last one. Jeremiah Rose says, that list and Juan has Carr out of the top 10 is dead wrong. Who are the top other 10 to 11 quarterbacks better than Carr? Please list them. Good luck. I'm not going to go through this again, man. Look, I think Carr, depending on the type of season he has, can be anywhere from like 8 to 13 around there. Because, look, okay, let's just start in the fucking AFC, okay? Our whole division, right? So it's Mahomes, Herbert, and Wilson. Okay, then you have Burrow, and you have Watson, and you have Lamar. That's 6 already. And then you have in the South, nobody. And in the East, you have Allen. That's it. Trevor Lawrence could be freaking good too. So that's 7 before you even go get out of the AFC. And then there's like the big 3 in the NFC, right? There's Brady, there's Rodgers, and I'm missing someone. God damn it. Stafford. Okay, yeah, right. Now, so, that's when it starts to get sticky. You got Dak, you got Stafford fucking balled up, fucking sacked up and won a Super Bowl. There's Kyler Murray. So there's that whole Dak, Kyler Murray, like, you know, there's that bucket. And that bucket is in that fucking 10, 11, 12, 13-ish range, you know? And it's, I don't know, man. It's not – because, look, not every single one of these second-year quarterbacks is going to blow up, but not all of them are going to fall on their face either. Some of them are going to – some of these guys are going to improve. And with the coaching that – let's say, for example, Trevor Lawrence gets this coach in the – that he didn't get last year, right? Like last year's like kind of a waste, right? He's got more talent around him now. He's got Doug Peterson, quarterback, head coach now. He can make a pretty big – look at what Joe Burrow did with, you know, a little continuity and able to stay on the field. He made it the freaking – I'm not saying that the Jags are going to make it to the Super Bowl, but, I mean, if they're that much better than they were the year before, you could even be saying Trevor Lawrence's name in that conversation.
So 32 teams in the league. So 16 and above is – so 17 and above is above average technically, right? Mm-hmm. So I like to do this by just going quarterback by quarterback. Is he better than Aaron Rodgers? No. Is he better than Brady? No. Is he better than Josh Allen? No, not at this stage. Is he better than Russell Wilson? No, not at this stage. Unless Russell Wilson has a big drop-off with the Broncos this year, which I don't see happening. Is he better than Justin Herbert? I'm going to say no.
My answer to that is this. My answer to Justin Herbert is this. I think Justin Herbert is a better quarterback because of his physical tools. I do think that Derek Carr plays the position of quarterback better than Justin Herbert does.
You know, I actually don't disagree with that. And a lot of that comes with experience. I just think Derek Carr's had more experience in the league. He's got a better grasp of the offense, and he is the unquestioned leader of that team, the entire team, which Herbert is earning his way, but he's still a much younger kid. But his tools are off the chart. His performance is off the chart. He's a stud. I'm keeping Herbert ahead. Joe Burrow, after what he did last season as such a young kid, I think he probably beats out Carr to me. It then gets into Stafford, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. I think this is where you've got the big debate. And honestly, there's good arguments that could be made for all of them. So, yeah, Carr's in there somewhere.
Dude, freaking Lamar almost made the playoffs with like a skeleton crew of nobodies playing around him. And I mean, dude, look, Stafford won a Super Bowl. Kyler, we'll see about Kyler. That's like I said, that's in that bucket, that Dak, Kyler, Carr, in that little range right there. And that's what I've been saying forever. And I think, you know, people want to shit on me because I'm not like saying that Carr's like the third best quarterback in the league or whatever, but it's like, look, man, Should I be saying that? Of course, like I probably get more followers, I get less hate mail, I get less death threats. But it's like, dude, I'm not gonna say it because I don't think it's true. I think he's and you can win because look, before last year, we were saying a good comparison to Carr with Stafford as far as his play, maybe not the stats because of the teams and the players he's played with, but the player himself. And he went out and won a Super Bowl with a better team. Well, Carr, you have a better team now, you have better coaching now. Let's and I have full confidence he's going to be able to get it done.
So, 100% agree with you. Yeah, realistically, I'd probably put him at 11 or 12, worst case scenario. Just to answer the question.
Yeah, in around that area, yeah.
And so, I think he was top five back in the 2016 season. I think he got that good. He was an MVP candidate, but he was sort of in that top five discussion, which was insane. So he has it in him, you know.
Yeah, for me, he just needs to throw more touchdowns and turn the ball over less. That you know, 24 touchdowns. I mean, look, I said it last week. Russell Wilson was hurt last year. For anyone who wants to say that Russell Wilson is not, well, it's debatable that Russell Wilson is better than Derek Carr. Well, look, Russell Wilson attempted less passes than Derek Carr completed. Okay, that's how much he was hurt last year, and he had more touchdowns and less interceptions, of course, because he threw the ball less. But he had more touchdowns, and he had better weapons, of course. But dude, like he's throwing less passes than you completed, and you know that's my big thing for Carr. Let's see that translate on the field. I think with the improvements in our red zone offense, one thing we know about Josh McDaniels, other than the fact that he's going to have a game-specific plan every game, is he's good in the red zone. I don't care who you are. Like Hunter Henry had 9 touchdowns last year. Fucking Hunter Henry had 9 touchdowns last year. So most of those coming in the red zone. All right, man. Rory, thanks, man. Thanks for freaking for tagging in and being my partner for the day. Appreciate it. And my partner in life.
Good to be back, man. Honestly, yeah, man. It's been fun watching you guys and listening to you guys. It's still a trip that this is not just me and you talking, and not just me, you and RJ talking on that text thread. It's still going, strong. It's crazy that it's manifesting like this, and a lot of respect for you guys is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, man, Rory. For those who wonder where Rory's been, Rory, he did have to go inside for a little bit. You know, I'm just kidding. He didn't go inside. Rory's been very busy, but Rory has always made a point to feed us little lines, to give us little tidbits here and there. So he's always been contributing. So he's a contributing force for the Autumn Windbags. He's often imitated, never duplicated. The lovely, vivacious, beautifully big-breasted Rory J. Parsons. Thank you very much, Rory. Appreciate it. Until next time, guys. Knock on wood if you're with me.